We're going to try to travel all the way through the whole chapter. That's all the way to verse number 40. So we're going to be covering a little bit longer passage of Scripture here tonight. Judges chapter number 6, verses 16 through 40. As I was studying and reading and asking God what he would have us to learn about or what to speak on, it just amazed me that how last time we talked about Gideon's call. And this time we're going to look at how God is developing Gideon. God is, in a sense, he is being very patient with Gideon. He is, you're going to see here in a couple different areas and a couple different ways that Gideon needed some developing. He needed some prodding. He needed some help. And God, he's patient with him. I don't know about you, but I am very thankful that God's been patient with me. I mean, I know there's been many times in my life, if I was God, I would have given up on me. And I know for many years in my life that I know God wanted me to preach or God wanted me to be in some type of full-time ministry, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But you know what? God didn't give up on me. I'm thankful for that. And as we're looking through this passage of Scripture and as we're reading through this, look at how God is just developing Gideon here. I want you to think about that for a few minutes because it's not the first time in the Bible where we saw God developing an individual. We think about the story of David and how David, he had to fight. He had to first go against the lion and the bear before he was ever ready to fight Goliath. Those small victories ended up being a giant victory for David and for God. And then David was willing to trust God as he was traveling through the desert and through the wilderness that Saul was traveling on him. Saul was trying to kill him. You think about Abraham and how Abraham first, he got called out of that area and he had it by faith and step by step. Neither one of these guys were perfect, but God was growing them. God was developing them to the point where Abraham was willing to go to that mountain and be willing to offer up his own son and be able to be the father of a great nation. You can think about Peter. Peter denied Christ. Most of us would say, oh, he's done. No one's ever going to use him again. But we see how God continues to be patient with him. God continues to deal with them, deal with their sins, and patiently makes them available and ready to do whatever God wanted them to do. So not only does God give you a call, like last time we talked about, and since we weren't here last Wednesday night because of camp, we'll go over that call again. Remember, Gideon, his nation was under, they were doing evil. They were doing wickedness. They were underneath the chastisement of God. This nation had come in, the Midianites, or the nation of Midian had come in, and they were oppressing them. Oppressing them to great lengths and great ways. And here, Gideon is called, and Gideon is called for to do what? To deliver them out of the hand of the Midianites. This is a huge amount of people. And Gideon doesn't think he can do it. Gideon makes up the excuse, hey, I'm of the least. My family's of the least. And God calls Gideon for a certain purpose and for a certain work. God gives him a promise saying, hey, I'll be there with you. God sees potential in Gideon. That's what we looked at last time, is the call of Gideon. He comes to God. God comes to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon thinks he's making a joke. He's there by the wine press. He's threshing wheat and he thinks he's joking. But we see that God sees potential in us that we don't many times see in ourselves. But God takes the time to develop us and make us. Think about these verses. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those he knew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Think about what it says in Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is always trying to develop us. He is always working with us. There's things he brings into our lives to teach us and to guide us and to lead us. And I think it's amazing here that we see in this story that Gideon, a man who is a little bit afraid, which if God calls us to certain things, it is a little bit fearful, but he is a little bit afraid, but God is preparing him and making him. And once again, he doesn't throw the clay away. He doesn't say, oh, if you can't get this right, if you can't believe me here, just don't worry about it. No, he continues to work with him. He continues to help him and makes him ready to do something great in the next chapter. He does some wonderful things here, but here I want you to see as we read this passage of Scripture, because of all the verses, what we're going to do is we're going to preach a sermon as we go through all the different verses, and we're going to look at, just consider the patience, how God is being patient with Gideon, because he is preparing him for a work. Let's look here at the confirmation, The confirmation. Look here in verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So this is the promise he's given him. He's got these promises. Look, I'll be with you, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 17, this is Gideon speaking to the angel of the Lord. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. So he is looking for confirmation. What's he looking for confirmation from? He's looking to see, am I hearing from God? Are you sent from God? Are you God? And he wants to know this, and I don't think he's wrong here. In a little while, we're going to see that he puts out a fleece a couple of times, and I think that's kind of questionable because he knew what God's will was for him. But here, what he's doing is he is trying the spirit and saying, is this coming from God? I think sometimes this is a good thing to do. The Bible even says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So I think what he's doing here is he is trying to make sure he's hearing from God, and this is not a bad thing for us. We need to make sure that we are hearing from God when it comes to our lives, our leadership and direction. And how do we know that? Well, we compare it to Scripture, first of all. We see if God is leading, God is guiding, he is not going to contradict his word. And let's see the conduct here. He finds out it's God. He says, depart not from hence. I pray thee until I come unto thee and bring forth my presence. So if he is God, he's saying, look, I want to bring a present unto you. I want to bring a sacrifice unto you. Please wait. And set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. So the point is the angel of the Lord is saying, look, I'll wait here until you come again. Gideon, now remember, this is in a time where that food is very rare. This is a time, remember, the Midianites had came and taken over all these things. So they do not have a lot. But look at this offering he brings. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of ephah flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. So he's bringing this offering, he's bringing this present, in a sense, this sacrifice. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So he does something supernatural, something that no one else could do, and then he departs out of his sight. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now, we remember when Moses asked to see God face to face, God told Moses that thou canst not see my face, for shall no man see and live. So Gideon here, he's worried. He's like, oh no, I've talked face to face with the angel of the Lord. I'm going to die. In verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. So he offers that peace. It gives that confirmation. And when we're doing the work of the Lord and when we're doing what God's called us to do and we're hearing from God, God will give us peace concerning that. Verse 24, what does Gideon do? It says he builds an altar. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day in Orpah the Abarazites. So we see here the confirmation. He's there. He's talking to the angel Lord. This is the guy that's called him thou mightiest man of valor, that mighty man of valor. And he's there. He's confirming that it is God. And so how does he respond? He builds an altar and he worships God. I want to encourage you, and when we know it's from God, let's be obedient. Let's make sure we're worshiping God. The second thing is what we're spending most of the time in is talking about the Reformation. As you see in this, God is getting ready to develop him and prepare him for the next thing. The next thing is when he goes out to the Midianites. The next thing is when he goes and he blows the trumpet and he gets all these 32,000 men to come, and then God kind of windles them down to 300, and then God puts 300 men in the hand of Gideon and they go out to fight someone. I think it was over 150,000 different army men. 300 to 150,000. Gideon's not ready for that yet. God is going to do something in his life, and God is going to cause a reformation in his life. See, I believe reformation must always come before deliverance. Reformation must always come before deliverance. Gideon did not undertake the work of fighting the Midianites until he first took care of some things spiritually among his own people. God's got a job for him to do. God knows if he can be faithful at this time with this job, that he can count on Gideon later on. And God is developing. This is a spiritual and a biblical principle. If God can trust you with a little, then he can trust you with much. But if he can't trust you with little, then he knows he can't trust you with much. So God gives Gideon a job. And this is not an easy job, but he gives Gideon a job that is going to help clean up Israel and their spiritual lives. Gideon receives the divine orders for some religious reformation. God is first and foremost concerned about the spiritual well-being of Israel than they are about the Midianites. He wants to make sure that the Israelites are going to be right with him before he ever goes out to take care of the Midianites. Let's look here what it says. And it came to pass the same night, and that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. You say, why the second? Well, more than likely, the first bullock was something that was set aside for Baal and for a Baal worship. And it says, and throw down the altar of Baal. And so he says, don't just go mess with it. He says, throw down. This is a strong word that he's using here. It's utterly overthrow this altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Now, this word grove is referring to probably some type of different things that represent the god Ashtaroth here. It is different things that was next to the altar. It is also a form of their worship. And then he says, not only do you throw down the altar, not only do you cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. And I believe he's talking about the rock that the angel of the Lord had done the burning with, and the same rock that Gideon had built an altar for. He says, now I want you to throw down the altar, I want you to cut down the grove, and I want you to build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men. Now, you see the response here. This is quick. Now, you got to remember, this nation is known for worshiping Baal. There is plenty of Baal worshipers. There's not many people fearing God. So when God comes to Gideon and says, hey, I got a job for you to do. I want you to take these animals, and I want you to use these animals to tear down this altar, to cut down these groves, he is signing a death warrant. He knows that it might cost him his life. So he goes over there and he does what God calls him to do. Look what it says. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants. And this was not an easy thing, I'm sure, to find 10 servants that would have been willing to do this. And did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now, once again, we see here there's a little bit of a lack of faith here. I think it's wise and a prudent thing when he did it in this area. He did it at nighttime. If he had done it during the daytime, more than likely someone would have been stopping him. Someone would have been trying to stop him. But instead, he waited and he does this at night. I think there's prudence in this. I think you see that there's hard work in this. You know, tearing down an altar, rebuilding an altar, it takes a lot of work. But you see the promptness in this too. Then Gideon took the men. It gives the idea that he does all this in the exact same night that God tells him to, if not very soon. And when the men of the city arose early the next morning, so we see here that the next morning that they rose early, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, and they said, Gideon the son of Joash have done this thing. So we have the story here. Gideon's reformation. He is taking away the altar of Baal, one of the many altars of Baal, and he's building an altar of God, and he's telling people, hey, look, we should not be worshiping Baal. We should be worshiping the one true God. When the people get up the next morning, what happens? They're upset. They're mad. These people did this to our God. So over here in verse number 30, he says, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. So they turn around and says, look, go get your son. We can't believe he did this. Let's put him to death. And it's kind of interesting. Joash sees it from a different perspective. Joash sees that Gideon has put up this altar, and Gideon had the strength to do this, and Gideon had the ability to do this, and God allowed him to do this. And he says in verse 31, Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. So Joash says, look, If he needs to be killed, let Baal do it. Why do you got to plead for Baal? If he's a god, he can do it even this morning. And he even goes to verse number 32. Therefore, on that day, he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. So he gives him a new name and even kind of gives him a compliment here. He's talking about someone who is casting down Baal, or like a Baal agnostic, someone who is saying Baal is not real. He's making this accusation. Go ahead and kill him if you can. And continue on in verse number 33. Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites, the children of the east, were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. And so they're coming up. They're getting ready for another fight, another war. And look what Gideon does. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. Now, verses 36 through 40, you see Gideon does something, and he places out a fleece. And he says, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Now, when you read through this, in verses 39 and 40, he puts out these fleeces. I'm sure we probably all heard of stories about, I'm putting out my fleece. Now, I don't believe that Gideon here, he's showing a little bit of a lack of faith here. You say, why? Because God had already told him what to do. God had already told him he was going to deliver him. But his faith is weak here, so God is being patient with him. God is being kind with him. God is developing him. And God, he does what Gideon asked. Look what it says in verse 38. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece in a bowl full of water. So he does exactly what God does exactly what he asks. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I want you to see the spirit here when you read this. He's not arrogant. He's not being cocky. Sometimes when people say, well, I'm putting out my fleece, and if God does this or God does that, that's how I'm going to get my answer. No, he is humbly going before God. His heart is, I want to know, help my unbelief. I have faith, Lord. I believe you're calling me for this, and I've seen you do this. I've seen you work through saving my life and the townspeople. I've seen the burning of that food. We've seen all these things happen, but let not thy anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all around the ground. Here's some things that we'll close with tonight I want you to think about. When I read this story and I see Gideon, what he's going through, God's called him. We saw that last time. He didn't think he was able to. He didn't think he was capable. He questioned God's faithfulness. He questioned, said God's forsaken them. He questioned God's power. He questioned God's calling on his life. God said, okay, you know I'm calling you. Now, let me increase your faith a little bit. And as Gideon takes step by step, little by little, God comes to him and says, okay, I'll do this for you. And Gideon responds. How does Gideon respond? He builds an altar. He praises God. He worships God. He says, I recognize this is God talking to me. God is the one that's leading me. God is the one that's guiding me. Then God comes to him with a job that is not anywhere near the magnitude of going up and fighting over 150,000 Midianites in that other army. But it is something that could cost him his life. God's saying, okay, let me show you something that you can do. Let me let this happen so it can increase your faith. And it has to do with our spiritual lives. If we ever want to have deliverance, if we ever want to see God work in a special, mighty way, we must first take care of the spiritual things of our own lives. There was a problem here in Gideon's and in Gideon's house. And he says, this is something we must take care of before we can go out there working and before we can go out there fighting the enemy. We must take care of things at home first. There's two different fires that's talking about, I think it's in the book of Jeremiah. It talked about the fire that's within. And how we must deal and work with the fire within before we can ever put out the fires that are without. So often we're so busy putting this fire out and putting this fire out and putting this fire out, we never worry about the fire that's within. We never worry about our own personal lives and our own sins and our own things that we struggle with, our own Bible reading, our own attitudes, our own this, everything that nobody sees. We're okay with dealing with everybody else's problems, but we don't want to deal with the inside. And God is saying, I am going to do a mighty work through Gideon. But before Gideon ever goes out and touches any Midianites, we must take care of the Baal worshipers here. We must show that God is real and that God is strong and that it is not Gideon that is going to win this battle, that it is God. And I think we're going to see that when only 300 Israelites go out and conquer this whole entire army. No one could have said, look at Gideon, look at those 300 guys. They would have said, man, that had to be God. God had to do those things. But that's what they do to begin with. He builds their faith, but it needs to have a reformation in our life. There's nothing wrong with looking for confirmation. Nothing wrong with saying, God, are you the one talking to me? God, are you speaking to me? God, if this is how you're leading and guiding, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what you said. But let's take care of those personal things first. Let's deal with those personal issues first. Let's do the reformation in our lives and look at those things inside before we can ever go take care of those other people's problems and before we can ever go take care of other people getting saved. Before we can go, let's make sure the reformation happens in our lives. It's a spiritual thing here. And they knock down this Baal worship. And God increases his faith. God builds his faith. And I find it interesting that in verse number, what is it, 33, he goes and he calls the trumpet. In verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord comes. In verse 35, he sends out messengers. He's getting the army ready. He's saying, okay, guys, they're over there. They're ready to attack us again. This time, let's go fight them. And he goes to five different tribes. And he says, here, go. Let's get. And then he goes to God and says, God, I'm still a little nervous here. God, I need your help. God, I have faith. I've already blown the trumpet. I already sent out the messengers. And the Holy Spirit of God is even on this man's life. But he sees him say, God, I need your help here. I think sometimes in our Christian lives, we need to make sure we're going the right way. And just believing and trusting that God is developing us and God is leading us and God is guiding us and saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking this next step. It's all on you. I need to see you work. I need to see you move, Lord, because I want to make sure it's you happening. I think Gideon here, he is struggling. It is a lack of faith that he is asking for this again, because God had already told him that he was going to deliver him. And if God has already told you something in his word, you don't have to set out your fleece. If you're wondering what the next step is, the next plan is, I think you should be prudent. I think you should see things and understand things and believe in things. But God, if he's giving you instruction, you know what God wants you to do, then go for it. In the next chapter, you're going to see some amazing things. You know, 32,000 people respond to this call. God says, that's too many. In our lives, we got to learn that it's God developing and working in us. God is being patient with us. God is being God. If God was going to count us lost just because of one sin, where would we be? We'd be lost and undone. If God said, I'm not going to use you because you disappointed me here, or because you failed me here, or because your faith was weak, and because we have a God that we should praise and say, thank you, Lord, for being patient with a man like Gideon. Thank you for showing us in the word that we can come to you as a father, and we can come to you as a Lord and as God and say, God, I need your help. I need clarification, God. I need reformation. God, I need you to show me confirmation in your life. Be patient with me. Be kind. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God's patient with me. And when I see, this is nothing but grace. Could God found somebody else? Yes. Could God found somebody else probably stronger? Probably. Could God found somebody else with more notoriety? According to Gideon, he was humble, but he was saying, I'm the least of the tribes, of the least in the Father's house. He's saying, pretty much, you can pick anybody else. God says, I don't want anybody else. I want you for this job. And I'm going to be patient with you. And I'm going to continue to increase your faith. As you're faithful to me, and as you're talking to me, and as you're taking steps of faith, I will continue to use you. Question is, where are we at in our Christian lives today? Are we allowing God to use us? Are we taking those steps of faith? Are we seeking God's confirmation? Are we seeking God's reformation? Are we heard what God wants us to do and say, I can't do that. Gideon doesn't do that. Gideon goes to God and seeks God and says, Lord, you know what? I'm struggling with my faith. Please help me. God can hear that. God can work with that. God can say, okay, I just want you to be obedient. Okay, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I got plans for you. I got plans for you. But just be faithful to me. Be obedient to me. Let me take you through this step by step. That's what our walk with God is ask God to help me and thank God for being patient with me. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.